Aesthetic Associates presents the top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history. Aesthetic Associates, making Western New York look great for over 25 years.
Pants it, throws it down the middle into the end zone. Touchdown, Stevie Johnson. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Back to throw. He looks, he throws. Touchdown, Andre Reed for the touchdown. The Bills have scored.
Each spring, every football team has the opportunity to restock their rosters at the NFL draft. While the fans' attention is focused on day one, the scouts and general managers have their sights set on finding impact players in the later rounds. And that's who we're counting down today. The top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history. Hitting that home run on the final day of the draft in the fourth round or later can go a long way in building a deep roster. And over the years, the Bills have found several Pro Bowlers, Wall of Famers, and even one Hall of Famer who had long accomplished careers in Buffalo. We kick off our countdown at number 10 with cornerback Terrence McGee. The Northwestern State defensive back wasn't highly recruited coming out of college in 2003, and even the Bills weren't sure where he'd fit on the roster. But there's one thing about him that made McGee an attractive pick in the fourth round.
His versatility, because he could play corner. He's a real physical kid, tested, you know, exceptional. And then his kick return skills were excellent. So for a guy that could be, for us, we thought a multi-position backup and a kick returner, great value there.
Terrence performed as though he had no other options. And once you got on the field, in his mind is, if I don't do this, what am I going back to?
Palmer throws left side, yeah! Intercepted. McGee at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
He just became a good pro. This kid showed up, young man showed up every week.
But what helped make his career memorable were his contributions on special teams.
He's going. Terrence McGee is going to do it. McGee all the way back into the end zone. Touchdown, Terrence McGee.
He set numerous kick return marks, was twice named an All-Pro, and was rewarded with a trip to the Pro Bowl after a career-best season in 2004.
I don't think I've ever seen a kick returner who's able to make a decision, stick his foot in the ground on one cut, and then just pass 8 to 10 players in about 5 steps.
Maybe one thing underrated about Terrence McGee was his vision. You know, you could see it on some of the return work where he would anticipate where, the defenders were going to be. Really tough athlete. I think a really tough, gritty guy who worked pretty hard. None of that probably would have been projected of him coming out in college as a fourth rounder.
While McGee may not have had a lot of attention on him in college, the same can't be said of the man at number 9 on our list. Wide receiver Bob Chandler. The USC star became a 7th-round pick of the Bills in 1971 after a successful college career that included being named the MVP of the 1970 Rose Bowl.
Our rookie year, we were sitting in my apartment, and he was thinking he was going to get cut. And I'm like, BC, you ain't going nowhere, man. You know, nobody catch the ball like you. Nobody runs like you. And coming out of USC, you know, I mean, he's a guy that he doesn't know nothing but win.
Bobby Chandler said he's wide open in the middle.
They try to hit Bobby in the middle. Got the idea?
He could do anything. I mean, he was just a physically gifted athlete. He had tremendous moves, great hands, great concentration, tough.
I could not believe how many hard hits he took, and he got up. We called him Timex. He took a lick and kept on ticking.
His footwork, the way he caught the ball, the way he'd stay after practice and work.
It was that work ethic that helped Chandler put together a 9-year record-setting run in Buffalo, which saw him lead the NFL in catches from 1975 to 1977, and twice was named a second-team All-Pro. But there was one specific ability which his former teammates will always remember.
The way he would catch that ball on the sideline, you know, his toe-tapping catches on the sideline, his foot movement and the way he would make you miss.
I've never seen anybody, maybe Fred Biletnikoff, could put his feet down, tink-tink, on the sideline like him. He was unreal.
Bobby Chandler was the best wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills team, by far.
At number 8 on our list is another wide receiver who was also picked in the 7th round, Stevie Johnson. After a huge senior season at Kentucky, the Bills took a chance on Johnson, who didn't have a college resume filled with stats, but one which was loaded with potential.
Even though you saw traits in him, you know, he took it upon himself to improve his game and to excel at this level. And that's what you never know about a college player. Are they going to be able to handle everything mentally, learn what they need to know?
Come on, 13, let's help this defense out.
He didn't have necessarily the ideal height, ideal speed. When you have his skill set and his competitiveness, you can be up there as far as stats.
He was not a typical seventh rounder, just happy to be here. He wasn't brash, he wasn't cocky, but he had, it seemed to me, pretty good command of who he was, what he could bring.
His breakout with the Bills came in his third year, where he led the team in catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns.
Fires down the middle, got a man wide open. Catch by Stevie Johnson at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Oh my goodness, was that easy!
And 2 years later, Johnson became the only player in Bills history with three straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
Stevie Johnson at the Kansas City 45, at the 40, at the 20, 15-yard line, 10-yard line, 5-yard line, touchdown! Stevie Johnson!
His teammates knew a big reason for his success was the fact that he was a one-of-a-kind receiver.
Stevie was unique in a lot of ways. You know, he dressed unique, he played unique. Oftentimes, you know, that's why corners struggle to cover him, because he didn't run necessarily orthodox routes, but him and Fitz had such a good chemistry. The way he played football, it's hard for DBs and people who are trying to cover him to really understand what he's trying to do. There aren't many receivers that run routes and do things like him.
Just had a knack for finding the opening and getting there. You know, it's almost like a basketball player. You know, he was creative. He would see things out there that maybe like a basketball point guard would see. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was so good at what he did.
Coming up a little later, we've got dominating linemen, stars in the secondary, and several small school standouts.
Hard hat with his name on it. Here's the job site. And here's his toolbox.
That and more is up next as Aesthetic Associates presents the top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history. The top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history is also presented by ECMC, the difference between healthcare and true care. And GMC, this is GMC, this is precision. GMC, we are professional grade.
Dr. Todd Shatkin of the Aesthetic Associates Center, a nationally recognized expert in mini dental implant technology, Dr. Todd Shatkin has trained over 9,000 dentists from around the world in his patented mini dental implant procedure. Dr. Todd Shatkin has personally placed over 10,000 mini dental implants, serving Western New York area patients with not only state-of-the-art facilities, but the highest quality of customer service. Trust your smile to the most trusted name in dentistry.
The best safety I ever played here. I don't think anybody compares to him.
Our countdown continues at number 7 with one of the best two-way players in Michigan State history, George Sames. A sixth-round pick of the Bills in 1963, his career started out on the offensive side of the ball until a decision was made that would help turn Sames into a 5-time AFL All-Star.
Lou Staben, who was fantastic for moving players around, moved George from running back to safety, and the rest is history.
He just wasn't a running back in the pros, and that, probably the best thing ever happened to him. This guy, he would not miss a tackle. You know, I don't care. Where do you put him at? He was going to make that tackle one way or the other.
I can remember Joe Collier telling me 1 year that George had a chance to make 127 tackles, and he made 123. He missed 4 tackles all year.
Sames was known as a student of the game. It was the work he put in off the field and the preparation he would do with the coaches that turned him into one of the best safeties of the decade. His playmaking ability, leadership, and reliability were only a couple of reasons why he landed on our list of draft diamonds.
Probably the smartest coach on the field type defensive back that we had. He studied, he prepped so much for the game. He knew what we were going to do before we did it. And he was usually right.
He had the ability to sense where the quarterback was going to throw the ball, not only where he was going to throw it, but how he had to position himself physically to make the interception.
He saved my rear end so many times on being able to make the tackle when I didn't have to do anything but just kind of dance around a little bit in front of them, and George could come up and make the tackle.
He was a quick recoverer, and that probably saved myself and Butch Bird from time to time on some of those deep passes that was coming down at us. So, George was he was outstanding.
Number six on our list is another two-time AFL champion defensive back, Butch Byrd. The Boston University product was acquired by the Bills in the fourth round of the 1964 AFL draft. Byrd brought a combination of size and physical play that quickly established himself as a player who would become one of the all-time great Buffalo Bills.
Tough, quick as a cat. He was about 6 foot, 6'1", 215, a tough individual.
He was built. He was bigger than most of the receivers he was covering. And he took it out on him. He didn't make any friends as far as guys on the other team. They didn't like him.
He was excellent at making receivers focus on him, because if they took their eyes off of him, he'd bang them, and they'd be getting up off of the turf.
Byrd had a franchise record 40 interceptions over his 7 seasons in Buffalo. He teamed with Booker Edgerson to form one of the best cornerback combos in the AFL. Edgerson saw the potential in his teammate and offered some advice early on that would help make him so successful.
I taught him the game of football. I said, you got to be patient. You know, I said, and there's certain things in what quarterbacks do. I said, so watch the quarterback.
He was our guy that was up close on the possession receivers, because Booker had the speed guy on the other side. Butch would line up two yards from the guy, was right on his nose, and just beat him up all over the field. He had a lot of interceptions because he was always around the ball, because he was always around the receiver.
Brady from the shotgun, looks to his left, pressured, rolls right, sacked! He is sacked! Kyle Williams burst through there and hauled him down!
At number five, it's defensive lineman Kyle Williams. Despite a successful college career that included being named a second-team All-American his senior year, Williams fell to the fifth round of the 2006 draft. NFL scouts were skeptical of his future potential in the pros.
It's the numbers. I mean, if you look at him, stature, measurables, do you think there's a limited upside there?
He didn't have what we would call the eye candy that most people, when they look at those two techniques, three techniques, he didn't have all of that.
The book on Kyle back then was great motor, you know, maybe limited, you know, he probably doesn't have the right length, he probably doesn't have the prototypical size. But when you saw him early that year in training camp, it was pretty evident that there was much more going on than just a great motor. He wasn't just an effort player. He was a really tremendous athlete.
What Williams lacked in physical traits, he made up for with his intangibles. The blue-collar lineman made an impact from day one, both on and off the field.
He's coming and everyone got these fancy lunch boxes. You know, lunch pails with locks and stuff on them. Brown paper bag, rolled up, name on it, with a hard hat.
He leads by example, and he's a vocal leader as well. He's kind of the best of both. He's one of the hardest workers.
Let's go now, let's go, let's go.
Kyle had all of the things that you wanted in it, that you wanted every athlete to have, the desire, the determination, the resiliency. Someone told him he couldn't be. Someone probably told him your size, where you come from. Those things don't add up here, and he just was not going to be denied.
From being an unheralded selection from LSU to having over a decade of success in Buffalo, the 5-time Pro Bowler will go down as one of the best leaders of his generation and as one of the top 10 defensive players in franchise history.
It takes such great pride in being a good football player and a good person that it's a guy that you can't bet against.
Up next...
He's too big. He can't play football. I mean, that was the first thing I thought.
Find out what key members of the Super Bowl teams make the list. That's coming up on the Top 10 Draft Diamonds in Bills History.
I was surprised. I had some other people tell me that, hey, you were drafted. You're kidding.
The selection of the number 4 player came in the 13th round of the 1962 draft, linebacker Mike Stratton. After spending his college career as a tight end at Tennessee, Stratton struggled to find a home in Buffalo, with the team set at his natural position and a failed attempt to switch to defensive line. Stratton was left unsure about his future.
One of their first impressions, you know, how long am I going to be here? I did stay around long enough that they wanted to try me at linebacker. And I really liked it.
That first year, he was just quiet. You just didn't hear anything about him. He just went about doing his job, and he did it very well. Mike was a monumental find from Lou Saber.
His 6 foot 3 inch, 224-pound frame made him one of the bigger linebackers in the league, and his natural athletic ability made him a perfect fit at the position.
He had great mobility and speed, could cover guys coming out of the backfield, which was unusual because you would think of a guy that that large wouldn't be able to do that.
He was just a good, solid linebacker. He was good on the pass rush, and he stopped the run.
He had the speed. He had the quickness. I think even like to today, he would be an outstanding linebacker today if he played.
Stratton spent 11 years in Buffalo, was a six-time All-Star, two-time AFL champion, and a member of the Bills Wall of Fame.
Throwed his back to pass, the swing pass, and boy, oh boy, the man was hit hard by Stratton, and he is hurt.
While he'll be best known for his hit heard round the world on Keith Lincoln, Stratton's entire career is what puts him this high on our list of draft diamonds.
A consistent player who tried to do the best he could every time he was on the field.
House.
The house. Big house.
What a big dude.
That's the first thing.
Howard House Ballard is our number three draft diamond. An 11th round pick in 1987 from Alabama A&M. Ballard spent seven seasons in Buffalo. He twice made the Pro Bowl, but it was his 6'6", 326-pound frame that left teammates in awe.
I mean, just huge. Just a big guy. Very agile, very quick. I mean, to see him pull on a counter play, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I probably didn't get tackled when we ran, because nobody could see me being behind him.
Here's Thurman running right. He's in for the touchdown. And the Bills are on the brink of making NFL history.
He was an amazing player. He had incredible size at a time when that size was really outlandish. I mean, there were not people playing at his size in those days. And he was incredibly light on his feet.
He's the only man I know that can turn the corner, hit a 300-pound defensive lineman with one hand and knock him over, and then go hit another one and knock him over.
Beyond his physical stature, Ballard's smarts and dedication to the game are what helped make him one of the best linemen in the league.
It didn't take him very long because he was smart. He realized what he needed to do, and he proved a lot of people wrong, including myself. A guy that had a long-lasting career, and there's no doubt that he saved my butt a few times. There's no doubt.
He kept it positive. And he knew his stuff. And from Howard, I learned that you have to know what you're doing. You have to get into the playbook.
It was more than simply his size, dedication, and longevity that lands House at number three. It was the important role he had in the offense and what he meant to the early success of the Super Bowl teams.
He was the last piece in the offensive line puzzle. Now we could protect completely no matter what kind of a defense we faced. And then his athleticism allowed us to, you know, developed the no huddle to a point where we were the best in football at it.
Coming up, we're down to two men from two different eras who dominated their positions. But how do they rank on our list? Find out next as Aesthetic Associates presents the top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history. Number two on our list of draft diamonds, defensive tackle Tom Sestak. Picked in the 17th round of the 1962 AFL draft from McNeese State, Sestak is another of the small school success stories to make our list. The cornerstone of the defensive line of the title-winning teams of the 60s, Sestak is one of the greatest players in Bills history.
He had the admiration of everybody because of the competitor he was, and he was a very skillful player. You know, he was 6'5", weighed 275, but he was quick.
It was like a tree trunk. California redwood, you know, strong. When I used to see him on that line, he more or less was throwing guys away, you know. I mean, he just knocked them right out of the way.
There wasn't anyone in the league that could keep him away from the passer if he wanted to get there.
Injuries limited Sestak to only seven seasons in Buffalo, but the four-time AFL All-Star made them memorable ones. It was that strength and his toughness for how he'll always be remembered by his teammates.
He played hurt all the time. He had a bad knee, he had a bad leg, he's hobbled around, but he's always there on game day.
Ed Abramowski, our trainer, once told me this story about how Seth was complaining about his side was bothering him.
I said, when did you do that? And he says, in the game 10 days ago. I said, after practice, we'll send you over for x-rays.
He found he had two broken ribs, and he played like four games with two broken ribs, and all he told Abe was he just had a little pain in his side.
Sestak was inducted to the Bills Wall of Fame in 1987, but he was so dominant during his run with the Bills that many feel he deserves an even higher honor.
If there was a defensive lineman that should be in the Hall of Fame, I think it should be Sess.
If he hadn't have gotten hurt and had that bad knee, he could have played another 4 or 5 years, and I would think he'd be in the Hall of Fame, no question.
Tom was awesome. I mean, sacks, you want whatever you want. And like I say, when you have a team that they can't get a rushing touchdown in 19 games, that's pretty damn good.
Our defensive unit, if you look at the scores with our two championship games, 64 and 65, they were the ones that won it for us. I mean, they were just incredible, and Sess was the cornerstone of that defense.
A gamer. He wanted a football.
Our number one draft diamond, Andre Reed. The wide receiver was selected in the fourth round of the 1985 draft from Division II Kutztown State. Despite playing against lesser competition in college, the 6'2", 190-pounder showed no fear early in his career.
From day one of his first minicamp, it was obvious that he had what it took. Kay Stevenson and I walked off the field after the first minicamp practice, and he said, Andre Reed's in the lineup.
I already knew about him because they had my rights, but I didn't think I was ever going to play there. But I still followed the Bills because of being drafted by them, knowing that they didn't have a very good team, but there was a receiver out there that was pretty darn good. And then when I did become a Buffalo Bill, it took me, I think, one day to realize this guy's special.
Long before his 7 Pro Bowls, countless receiving records, and a place in Canton, nobody could have envisioned the career that would follow of the unknown kid from the obscure football program in Pennsylvania. Not even Reed himself.
Let me tell you, man, when I came here in 1985, I just wanted to be on the team. I just was given the opportunity to become a big fish in a small pond. The organization gave me a chance, and they wanted to see if I could, step to the next level.
It's difficult for any rookie, whether you're from Notre Dame or Kutztown State, but he just did it naturally.
The Bills, they evaluated pretty accurately with these guys and said, you know what, a guy dominated at that level. We can see him fitting in here, and they took chances, and it paid off.
Reed's toughness, durability, and reliable hands were only some of the reasons the Hall of Famer had so much success so early in his career, and why he sits atop our list of top draft diamonds.
He had a natural knack for getting open. He was big and physical at a time when receivers really, really weren't, fast receivers really weren't, and he had the ability to go get the ball and then tremendous ability to run after the catch.
I just had confidence in myself, man. I really took out to the part that I went to a Division II school, and that's really like it was, kind of unheard of. I kind of let that go. I'm here for a reason, and every chance I had to take advantage of it.
And it is caught by Reed at the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Back to throw. He looks, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored! Andre Reed, 3 straight touchdowns!
Andre was a guy that wanted the ball. He wanted to be the star, and on our football team, he was the star. He was one of the guiding lights of our offense, and our offense wouldn't have been the same without number 83.
Although Andre tops our list, one thing is for sure. There have been plenty of strong candidates over the years, and there's certainly plenty more to come. From standing Buffalo to charging Buffalo, from QBs to DBs, the Bills have harbored some of the greatest players to ever strap up. They differ in era, position, stature, and speed, but their universal characteristic is simply defined as greatness. Be sure to catch all 5 of our top 10 specials. Aesthetic Associates presents the top 10 draft diamonds in Bills history. Aesthetic Associates, making Western New York look great for over 25 years.